The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
This is Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki.
I used to pop. He's got such pretty face. And it's so pretty if you're skinny. Like, I copped that a lot growing up.
Did people actually say that to you?
Like, to my face.
What?
Wow. I specifically remember a guy in high school turning around to me and going, "Oh, we're just all talking about how gorgeous your face is and how hot you would be if you were skinnier." And I remember him saying that to me, and I felt like it was a compliment at the time. I really felt like, I was like, "Oh, like, they think I'm pretty." And then I kind of suppressed the, "Oh, but you're fat" kind of side of it.
This episode is brought to you by Moddy Body. Cheers, babes. Welcome to Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki, the real-life shit you only discuss over a drink. But before we start, a little disclaimer.
So today we're here for a good time, and especially a good time because we are here to talk to the beautiful Kate Was, who is a curve model here in Australia.
Yes, she is an absolute doll. So she's...
she's like a pioneer, I guess you would say, for the...
like body positivity movement.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. And we actually love Kate. We met her at an event a few weeks ago, and we had a big chat to her, and we just had this really lovely connection. And she just is such a go-getter, but also just such a normal, cool chick.
Yeah, it's really nice to chat with her so openly about like the industry and like her experiences growing up, her relationship, I guess, with, you know, fitness and her food and everything like that. Like, we just sort of have like a really open, raw conversation, how she's gotten to where she is now and how she's, you know, essentially can spread body positivity. And we talk about the shit things as well.
Yeah. So Kate has about 350,000 followers on Instagram. She was actually part of a huge Instagram account that she also co-managed with Georgia Gibbs called Anybody Co. And it kind of shot to fame overnight. And for those of you who didn't see that Instagram, it was basically photos of her and Georgia together, and they were taking photos together and basically really promoting.
Just like, you know, loving anybody. Yeah.
And it was really amazing to see. They got a huge amount of publicity in America and Australia, and it was just a really cool movement. It was one of the first really prominent body positive accounts that we saw here, especially in Australia. And she has just been kind of on the forefront now, teaching everyone about, you know, what she's been going through as a model in the industry. She's had disordered eating, you know, chapters of her life where she talks a lot about that. She's spoken about her friendships and how they were impacted by, I guess, her kind of obsession with, you know, her weight and her food. It's really interesting. And she's just a legend.
She's an absolute doll. So, without further ado, let's bring her in, shall we?
Let's bring her in.
Welcome, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, dolls. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here, babe. We've just been chit-chatting so long off air. We just love you. How are you going at the moment? So you're in Sydney now?
Yeah, in Sydney. Been here for 2 months now, but I have lived in Sydney before, so I feel like it's not such a big change for me coming from Perth.
Yeah, so you hail all the way from the West Coast. West is best. Do we agree with that sentiment?
At times.
Yeah. It's so beautiful over there. It's just honestly so far.
It is gorgeous. But yeah, 5-hour flight's too far. And I feel like work opportunities as well, it's not it, you know?
Yeah, we always say to M. Davies, we're like, man, you miss out. Well, she does a pretty good job, but I'm like, you miss out on so many opportunities by being so far away, because it's not even like the Gold Coast, which is like an hour flight, or like Melbourne, which is like an hour flight. It's like 6 hours.
Exactly. I know. Like, she kills it. But yeah, I feel like she would do really well in Sydney. Even Goldie. You guys are on the Goldie, hey?
Yeah, we're Gold Coast. And how quick's the flight to Bali from Perth? Like, total side note, it's like 2 hours, isn't it?
Like 3 hours.
Oh, that's so good.
Quicker to Bali than it is to Sydney, which is so
get me
good,
on a but, flight to yeah. Bali from Perth, man.
Oh my god, I cannot wait. I think I dreamt about Bali.
How long
last
is it
night.
For you guys?
Ours is six.
Six hours.
Yeah, 6 hours, and then yeah.
Yeah, that might you feel like you're going on a proper international holiday.
It does. It's a good flight. All right, Kate, okay. So we start every single guest podcast with what is your wildest story?
Okay, my wildest story. I've been thinking about this one to tell you girls. So I went to the Bahamas when I was 21 to do a modeling job there. And I didn't really research it before I went. So I feel like I went into it thinking that Bahamas was just like America. And I got there and quickly realized it was pretty much exactly like Bali. And I was like, I'm very underprepared to be here. So I jumped on my flight, which was delayed. I arrived at like 11 p.m. because my flight was delayed. All my transfers and everything had already left. So I arrived, I jumped in a taxi, like I said, 11 p.m. I knew that hotel was probably like 5Ks from the airport. So we're driving. And I just felt like we were driving for a long time. And then the taxi man like pulls into this like little car park with a little like ATM toilet block kind of thing, all surrounded by bushes. I'm in this little like car park, 11 p.m. at night, and the taxi man turns around to me and he goes, go withdraw all your money. And I was like, what? And like, keep in mind, yeah, it's like midnight. I'm in a country, my phone doesn't work, whatever. So I'm like, okay, I'll just do what he says. Jumped out, went over to the ATM. I was like, I'll just take out a couple of grand and like pretend that's all I have. So I'm still...
Oh my gosh, babe, even that's a lot. I would have given him $50 and calling it a day.
I was terrified and I was just like, okay, give him what he wants and just like get out of there, you know? So I go over to the ATM.
Was he like watching you withdraw the money?
Yeah. And because, like I said, I was so underprepared and I went into this like so naive. I hadn't told my bank that I was leaving the US to go to the Bahamas. So I tried using my card and it just kept declining and it just was not having it. Like the bank had completely blocked my card because they thought I'd been hacked. So I like go back to this man and I'm like, my card's not working. And he's like, bullshit. And I was like, I don't really know what to do in this situation. Like he's got my suitcases. He's got my passport, like everything. I was like, I don't know if he's got like a gun or something. Like all the worst things are just going through my mind. And then he's like, so you're trying to rob me. And I was like, no, like, what do you mean? And he's like, you jumped in my taxi with no money. You're trying to rob me. And I was like, I'm not. And then he's like, well, I'm going to call my boys at the police station. Like, I used to work there. Like, I'm going to make sure you rot in prison. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on at this point. And then these like three huge cops rock up, right? With their like big fucking machine guns. And like, yeah, it's like middle of the night at this stage. And then like, as soon as I saw them, I just like burst into tears and I was like, what the fuck is happening to me? Like all the worst things are running through your head. Anyway, they took me back to the police station, like with all my stuff.
Oh my gosh. This story is really good, babe, by the way.
I'm telling you, this is a wild story. So I'm sitting in this holding cell for like 2 hours and I'm just like, how have I ended up here? Anyway, this, like police woman walks in and she just like spoke perfect English and she was like, you must be so scared. And I was like, I really fucking am. Like, what is going on? And she was like, basically you jumped in a fake taxi. Like he was trying to rip you off. Like he's got to deal with some of the guys here and they try and like rip off tourists and stuff. And I was just like, okay, I just want to get to my hotel because I have a job at like 7 a.m. in the morning. So that she's like, I'll take you. So I jump in a cop car. We go to my hotel. It's shut. Like it's completely closed. They're like banging on the windows, like a reception, like no one's there. So I was just like, I have no idea what to do. And then there's like one of the other big cops and he's like, oh, you can crash at my place. And I was like, probably not.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So then we go back to the cop station and they're like, let's see if your card, you know, if we can get some money out on your card. And I was like, yeah, okay. So we walk over to this other hotel that's open. Their ATM's broken. I was like, of course. And then this party bus, like this honestly sounds like I couldn't make this up if I tried. This party bus rocks up at the hotel. And they're like, let's jump on this party bus and go to the ATMs at the casino. And I was like, okay. So it's like 2 a.m. I'm on a party bus with two cops off the casino in the Bahamas. Go get some money out. And I'm like, okay, I still have nowhere to stay though. So we've sorted out that issue. We go back to the hotel whose ATM was broken and they were like, we have no rooms left. And they were like, this is the only hotel in this area. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, I hadn't tanned, I hadn't shaved, I hadn't done all of the things I needed to do for a swimwear shoot the next morning. And they were like, oh, you're welcome to like sleep in the lobby. And I'm like, at this point, let's just do it. So I went and like kind of showered in the bathrooms, like with the sink and stuff, like so bad. Slept on the floor of this lobby for I reckon 2 hours. And I woke up in the morning and there was this man just like hovering over me, and he was like, do you need a taxi? And I was like, absolutely not.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So I got a hotel transfer to the airport, and everyone was telling me on my ticket, whatever, get off at the second stop. So I've had like 1 hour sleep. I jump on this tiny little island hopper plane, stops at the first stop, all the people get off, and it's just like me and two pilots, go to the second island. And when I jump off, the sign on the airport matches the first stop on my ticket. So I'm like, they've taken me the wrong way round. Like, they've stopped at the second stop first, and now we're at the first stop.
My God.
So I went into this airport and I was like, I'm going to be so late for this job and just like absolutely butcher it. And then they were like, oh, we've got a taxi. Like, it's just $100. And like, thank God I'd taken out money the night before. So I paid $100 to get this like taxi all the way to my job. I ended up only being like 20 minutes late, but like, oh my God, guys, I honestly, my emotions that night, I was like, I'm going to die. I'm going to get raped. Okay. I'm going to be fine. And then I'm like, I'm sleeping in the hotel lobby on the floor. I was like, oh, wild. So yeah,
babe, that's a really like that's genuinely a wild story.
I know it's a wild story, and that's like short version.
You are tough because
I love that,
like,
in a girl.
That would make people crumble. Like,
babe, I bawled my eyes out. By that point, I was just so tired. But when I saw like the three cops come up with their machine guns, and my taxi driver was like, "She's trying to rob me! Like, these are my bros!" And I was just like, "I'm gonna die." Like, that was my breaking
babe, and
point.
Do you know what? I've got to say, there's a lot of credit that needs to be given to models especially, because a lot of models have to travel around the world all the time alone.
Yeah, and you don't think about it. Honestly, I went into that and I was just like, I was just genuinely excited to be there. Do you know what I mean? So I just like jumped on my flight.
Yeah.
Off I went. Didn't look into it. Didn't do any research. Like, so naive. But
you would have slept so well that night when you finally finished the shoot.
So well. In a hotel with all people I knew. It was just, yeah, so good.
Did you tell the client what you'd been through?
No. Because I got there and I was already late, and I hate being late. I'm always literally like half an hour early. But yeah, I got there and I was just like, oh, hi guys, I'm so sorry I'm late, like almost got arrested last night. Like, just oh my God, just like, yeah, trying to be professional. But fuck,
I feel like if that was me in your position that whole time, I would have been like, you know, I feel like the brand should have been kind of keeping an eye on where you were when you were traveling all the way over there on your own.
My agency should have been, but that was a big conversation afterwards, because I didn't get, like I said, I went in there very naive. Obviously, every time I travel now, I'm super diligent about looking into things. But yeah, all I knew about the Bahamas was what I had seen on movies, and it just, to me, looked like, you know, an extension of America. And then I got there and I was like, I feel like I'm in Bali.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're given a travel itinerary, I guess. You're not really going to do that much research. Like, we're the same. Like, you can put us anywhere and we'll just be like, figure it out when we
get
there.
You just rock up and you're like, oh, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think, because the flight was so delayed and I just, oh my God. Anyway, that was a life lesson for me.
Did you end up doing a tan and sleeping in it?
No, I didn't. I did not.
You're like, fuck the tent, I'm sleeping.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, credit to you.
Well, so now everyone obviously knows that you're a tough bitch, but let's take it back to the beginning. Talk us through your kind of career. Like, where did everything begin for you?
Sure. I, obviously living in Perth, I was just at uni. I was studying nutrition and health promotion. I liked the degree, and then kind of halfway through, I kind of started fizzling out and was like, oh, I don't think uni's for me. Don't really know what I want to do. Anyway, so I won this model search that was just on Facebook for a brand Autograph here in Sydney. I flew over, did the model search, won, and then they ended up giving me a contract, and I shot my first ever, well, my first ever photo shoot was a national campaign for all the like windows in Westfield and whatever.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, my agency said, you know, if you want to pursue this, Perth isn't the place to do it because straight size models don't really work a lot here, let alone plus size. There's nothing. You're going to have to move to Sydney or Melbourne. So I was like, what have I got to lose? I'm not really enjoying my degree. So I just deferred that and moved over to Sydney. And I was kind of working with this brand Autograph for, I think, 2 years, I reckon. And then along the way, I started Anybody with a friend at the time, which was just a joint Instagram account that kind of blew up overnight. And then that kind of helped me start working for brands that I would wear, like age appropriate,
yeah,
you know, for a 22-year-old to be wearing, because Autograph is their target market, is like 50 plus, you know?
Yep. I know Autograph. Mm. They're in all the Westfields.
Yes. Yeah. So very classic for a plus size model to be working for that kind of age bracket brand. But yeah, so Anybody kind of kicked off and I was starting to work for like Shopo and I guess like brands that, you know, Boohoo and stuff that I would actually wear. And then I guess major highlight then I booked Sports Illustrated and
that is so epic.
Yeah, which was really, really cool. And yeah, the rest is history.
So were you picked up when you say you were like, just to take it back to before you even went to the model search, what kind of, you know, encouraged you to even want to do that? Like, were you always the same size growing up? Did everyone always kind of say to you like, oh, you're so gorgeous, you should consider modeling? Like, what made you want to get into modeling initially?
I guess I used to cop, oh, you've got such a pretty face. It'd be so pretty if you were skinny. Like, I copped that a lot growing up.
Did people actually say that to you?
Like, to my face.
What?
Wow. I specifically remember a guy in high school turning around to me and going, oh, we're just all talking about how gorgeous your face is and how hot you would be if you were skinnier. And I remember him saying that to me, and I felt like it was a compliment at the time. I really felt like, I was like, oh, like they think I'm pretty. And then I kind of suppressed the, oh, but you're fat kind of side of it. And then that really came out, I guess, when I was in year 12, end of high school. Everyone's starting to be interested in boys and talking about diets and whatever. And then I was kind of like, oh, like I'm going to get involved in this because I was really just unhealthy in high school, which I think a lot of teenagers are. Like, you just, you know, don't really give a shit. But then, yeah, when I hit 17, I started really caring and I was doing, like, detoxes and stuff. And, like, because I had been so unhealthy, the weight was just, like, falling off. Also, I was probably consuming, like, 800 calories a day. So, yeah, weight was, like, falling off. I ended up studying personal training, became a personal trainer for a bit, and then went on to uni to do nutrition and health promotion. And that's where I kind of started actually learning about nutrition. And I was like, okay, I'm starving myself, essentially. And then I did a couple of units on eating disorders and disordered eating and whatever. And I was like, I love this because I understand it. And yeah, that's where I kind of really fell in love with that. And then I remember seeing Robin Lawley, who is now a friend of mine, on the cover of a magazine, and she was a size 14 at the time. And I was just like, wow, like that's revolutionary for me to see someone of that size on a magazine cover. I guess that's when I started thinking about it.
Would you say that in the peak of kind of your diet obsessions and that kind of a thing, mm-hmm. would you say you had disordered eating of sorts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't say I was full on bulimic, but I did bring my food up quite a lot and that became like a habit for me. 800 calories a day. Like when for an example, for my breakfast, and this is honestly foul thinking back, I would blend spinach, lemon, and ice and water, and that was like my breakfast smoothie, which is like,
oh,
what,
wow,
2 fucking calories? Like, yeah, it was
ew,
it was
that would taste
bad.
So gross too.
Disgusting, babe. Disgusting.
It's literally rogue. Where's the banana in there, girl? Come on.
Yeah, literally, at least.
Was this before you started your degree?
Yes, that was before. So I was just working in a cafe at the time. And then I guess it kind of continued on into uni. But when I got to uni, I was starting to be, I guess, a lot more social because I'd missed out on a lot. Turning 18 to 21, I wasn't wanting to go out. I wasn't wanting to drink because the calories in alcohol. I wouldn't, you know, go out with my friends. I was struggling to find clothes that fit me, even though I was like a size 10 to 12, because at the time that was the biggest that anyone went to. So I still thought I was huge, but I'm 6 foot tall and like I was fitting into a size 10. So I was thin, but didn't feel it at the time. So I guess then going into uni, I was like, okay, I want to be actually living my life a little bit more because I've missed out on this huge chunk of, I guess, going out and partying and like being young and having fun, you know? So
it's crazy, isn't it? Like how when we're young, I don't know, even myself, like I had moments in high school and after high school where you just do silly things to try and like lose weight. Like I remember at one stage I was trying to do this diet called the Russian ballerina diet.
Oh, here we go.
We can laugh about it now.
It's actually so fun.
We laugh about it now, but yeah, so messed up.
It was like 4 blueberries for breakfast and 3 raspberries for dinner or something like that.
Yeah, shit. So filling. That's insane.
Energy was off a 10.
Yeah, literally. All that antioxidants, yeah.
Oh, actually, here's a funny story. One time Nikki and I did the cabbage soup diet. We lasted like 3 days. And we got to the third day, and on the third day they let you eat a sweet potato. And shit you not, we ate the sweet potato. And we were running around the house like we just had 3 pingers. It gave us so much energy. We were like bouncing off the walls.
It was like the first time I felt like the effects of a carbohydrate. I was like, I don't feel slothy at all. I feel like I can take on the world.
It was crazy.
Like I've just had a solid. Oh my God.
Literally.
The cabbage soup diet. Were you shitting yourself the entire time?
No.
It honestly wasn't too, like the soup itself is quite yummy. It was like tomato based with just heaps of cabbage and then like veggies.
Like, listen, it's definitely not healthy, but like it was a nice soup for the first 2 meals. And then after that, it just made me feel sick.
I was thinking just like cabbage boiled in water.
No, it was more like a vegetable soup.
Okay,
it was like minestrone vibes.
Okay, so back to you anyway. Sorry about that. Sorry down that walk down fad diet lane. So you won the modeling search and then you started modeling for other brands. Like were you the first curve model to ever model for Lorna Jane in 2016?
Yeah, I think someone from their office modeled for them who was a plus size girl. And then I was the first kind of model that was booked to do their shoot. So,
and isn't that crazy to think 2016 wasn't even that long ago. And Lorna Jane is definitely a brand in Australia that's known to be for like everybody, like, you know.
They are now, yeah. So I feel like they have done a huge rebrand, which a lot of brands have, which is great to see.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a big moment for me. I think, like I said, from coming from modelling for brands that were for women, 50 to 60-year-olds, coming to model for a brand that I would actually wear, huge moment for me. So, yeah, that was really good to see. And
literally,
yeah, they've done a huge, huge rebrand.
So, like, was that what you would consider like your sort of first big break?
I guess so. I mean, nothing really happened afterwards. I saw like a couple of articles written about it, and that was exciting to see because that was the first time that had ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And I probably had 2,000 Instagram followers at the time, so it wasn't, you know, I wasn't, I guess, looking at it as, oh my God, this is so good for me and my following, because I didn't really care about it at that stage. But yeah, I think it was more of a personal achievement.
Yeah.
And fast forward to now, you've got like so many followers on Instagram and like 360K. You're like obviously still modeling as a curve model, but would you say now a lot of your work is coming through more like on an influencer scope, or how does your work balance now?
Modeling wise, a lot better now that I'm in Sydney, but definitely still kind of, I guess, like influencer heavy, which I really don't mind because I feel like I do a lot of fashion posts and fashion clients on Instagram. So yeah, definitely more influencer work, but still kind of working in the fashion side of it.
Yeah, cool. And tell us about Anybody Co. So that was an Instagram you created with Georgia Gibbs.
Yes, correct. Yeah. We started that because I think we were both lacking a bit of purpose. And we were both kind of like, I want to make a change. Obviously, I'd come from doing that at uni, so I kind of had that background and knew what I wanted to say. We did a shoot together, really spontaneous, kind of like went and borrowed some swimwear, kind of same vibe but different sizes. Went and did a shoot. Literally, she flew off to LA that night. I went back to Perth. Woke up in the morning and we had 10,000 followers. And in 2016 or 2017, whenever it was, that was like, that was, you know, we'd blown up overnight essentially. And from there, it just kept going. And obviously, we were apart and we were like, didn't really understand the, I guess, monster we had created. It was getting reposted by like Khloe Kardashian. It was through all the news outlets. Like, it just went insane. And then, yeah, that really took off. We ended up going to America together to do, you know, all the news interviews and press there. We did Good Morning in the UK. We're doing press there. Came home, and wow, then I found out that we had both been requested to go for a casting in New York for Sports Illustrated. I kind of found out last minute from my agency, and I was like, I've got to take this opportunity. Georgia was already back in the States. I ended up going and meeting her in New York for 24 hours, doing the casting, and then flying back to Australia because I was booked on a job here. So it was like, yeah, I spent longer in the air than I did on the ground at that stage, which was wild.
Wow.
And yeah, and then we ended up booking Sports Illustrated. And yeah, I guess that was like a really huge moment for us because we had this suddenly huge platform, which was growing our personal platforms, but also we had this huge platform in America to really talk about what we wanted to talk about and get out our message.
And is Anybody still going, or what happened with Anybody?
Georgia and I had really, I guess, different ideas on where we wanted to kind of take the brand. And because it blew up so quickly, we never really had a game plan, which I feel like was to our fault. But she was living in America. I was back in Perth, and it just, we could not make it work because we were needing to take photos together to kind of, you know, that was our brand that we had created. So yeah, had to call it quits, unfortunately. But yeah, I think we both kind of do our own thing on our own Instagrams now. So served its purpose while it lasted. We loved it, but couldn't make it work at the end of the day.
Well, doing Anybody Co, you know, like alongside, you know, you were literally standing there next to a girl that was like a size six.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, like, as much as like, you know, what you were doing was like so empowering, was that like, how did that impact on your mental health? Like, you know, was there any comparison? Like, how, I'm interested to know how that all worked.
Yeah, good question. I mean, I get asked that a lot, and I think that kind of question kind of drums home the fact that there is a huge difference in society and how people see us, because I never really saw it that way. I felt really good about myself and empowered about it. And then the more and more that I got asked, oh, don't you feel shit standing next to someone that looks like that? I was just like, oh, maybe I do. And I think that kind of did have an effect on my mental health, because I'd come so far from obviously all the disordered eating to then feeling really good about myself, and to then having people from everywhere comment on my size and body. Yeah, it really had an effect, but I had all the tools in place, I guess, not to go back into that really dark place. And that's not to say that I don't have weeks or months where I do fall back into that, because I absolutely do. But I think the way that I deal with it now and how quickly I can kind of bring myself back out of it has been my biggest change, I guess, mentally.
Well, I'd love to know what some of those strategies and stuff are.
What sort of tools?
Yeah, like not only just, you know, the tangible ones, but like how you mentally, like, I think that would help girls so much listening.
I think mindset and just being able to call myself on my bullshit when I'm doing it. I know when I'm not eating enough, everyone does. And sometimes if I don't eat enough during the day, I go to bed feeling really good about myself. Like, I'm like, okay, I've really done something good today, which is then calling myself and being like, that's not a healthy pattern. Like, food is healthy, okay? People need food to live. If you were saying to someone, I haven't drank water in 3 days, people would be like, what are you doing? Same with food. So I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, if I'm not eating and I'm feeling like I'm rewarding myself, I guess just knowing that pattern before I kind of go, you know, really deep into it, not counting my calories, making sure when I'm eating vegetables and I'm eating stuff that make me feel good. And you know what I mean?
And you are a believer in affirmations as well, hey?
I am, yes, definitely. I think writing them on my mirror became like a big thing for me. Yeah, just really reinforcing that I'm where I need to be in my life and that I guess I'm more than what I look like, and my relationships with people are way more important than surface level.
Yeah, because you're quite well known for the mirror affirmation. So like, do you find that, I don't know, by doing that, it actually does help change your mindset? Like, talk me through that whole process.
I think it helps me seeing that other people relate to, I guess, struggles that I have been through, because I guess you feel a bit more normal in what you are feeling about yourself. It helps me opening up a conversation about how bigger people are treated in society and, you know, for example, not wanting to eat in public because you just are in this mindset that everyone that walks past you must assume that you're eating something really unhealthy, even if you could, you know, literally be drinking lemon and spinach blended. The affirmations really help just kind of reinforcing where I want to be and how I want to feel. And I guess it's kind of a little bit of fake it till you make it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking on your Instagram now, and you wrote an article for Pedestrian about the kind of inclusion of body diversity and just diversity in general at Fashion Week.
Yeah.
And the title reads, "Fashion Week yet again showed me the lack of size diversity in Australia and I'm tired of it." Talk me through that, because we were at Fashion Week as well. And like, although obviously there's still some gaps, I did feel like there was definitely a focus on diversity this year for sure.
I felt like the racial diversity was really great. Obviously there were some Indigenous shows. All the shows were super diverse in that way, which I think obviously fucking awesome. But I saw a couple of girls that were a size 10. I saw one girl that was a size 18. Obviously there was that issue with the models in the wheelchair that couldn't get down the runway because there was, you know, streamers and crap everywhere. But I think my real issue came with, I was sitting, you know, kind of sitting front row watching all of these designs go past and thinking like, yep, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Didn't see it represented on my body type, which I guess I've become really accustomed to. I think a lot of girls have. But I was also sitting there thinking, none of this is actually made in my size. Like, it's not an issue of seeing it represented on the runway. It's like, it actually does not come in my size. And it's like, that makes you feel really shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be wearing black oversized fucking muumuus. Like, I want to be wearing stuff that all my friends are wearing. And that girls my age are wearing, and stuff that, you know, I could style on my body type to look really great.
And how was the response to that article? Did you have a lot of people like come forward and to you directly?
Really great. Got a lot of requests for interviews, and I feel like, the response was really, really positive. That seems to always be the case, I guess. And, you know, a real success for me in that sense would be seeing some plus size designers included in Fashion Week next year.
Totally.
Yeah, along with, I guess, keeping that diversity in the shows. Racial, ability, size, everything, you know what I mean?
So before we go on, we just need to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, which is Modi Body.
Queens, so the amazing team at Modi Body have been perfecting their range of discreet, stylish and comfortable reusable period and incontinent underwear, and it has seriously impressed us. So they've literally have a design, shape, colour and absorbency for everyone, and honestly they feel amazing and soft. It's a more comfortable, dignified solution that is better for our bodies and of course the environment.
So we know that so many of you are probably sitting there thinking, ew, gross, period undies.
Gross.
And super weirded out by the concept, but they are a game changer for us women out there. Everyone is a bit skeptical at first, but you just have to give them a go to actually understand how they work and get a feel for them as well.
Now, we know the question that everyone asks is, how do they actually work? Well, they have three layers. The first layer draws in the liquid, the second layer holds it, and then the third bottom layer is a waterproof layer that doesn't allow leaks. So basically, it's like a built-in pad.
Yeah, but they are still super thin. And the team at Modi Body, they've been empowering everybody to make positive period changes since 2011 worldwide, and not only for themselves and the environment, but to date have also donated over 25,000 pairs of underwear into the hands of those women in need. So basically, a small portion of every pair sold goes towards donating a pair of undies.
How good's that? So what a journey they've been on. So you guys can give these undies a go and be part of the change. The team at Modi Body have given us a discount code. So just head to www.modibody.com, and that's M-O-D-I-B-O-D-I.com, and use the code HAPPY15 at the checkout to receive 15% off. Exclusions apply.
Let's make a change, babies. All right, so back into it. I want to know, Kate, is plus size the correct term, or is the correct term curve model?
I have never really had an issue with it at all. I know a lot of other women do. It's a hard one because to me, I'm just desensitized to it. I just see it as a descriptive word in modeling. If I was called a plus size model or a curve model, whatever. I know a lot of girls want to be just referred to as model, which I also understand. I think when it comes into the mainstream and actually in fashion, I don't think girls want to be shopping in a specific plus size section that has a quarter of the amount of clothes that the straight size section has. I think they just want to be able to open up a website, pick out clothes they like, and just be able to select their size. Does that make sense? They don't want to have to go to a specific plus size section. So that,
totally.
I think...
Totally.
Yeah, I can see where the issue comes in because it's really segregated, but being called a plus size model or curve model to me really doesn't bother me.
So as a plus size or curve model, I should say, do you find that you ever did get any trolling online? Like, it happens to the best of people, but, like, I know when we speak to other girls.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%. I feel like that comes in hard and fast in waves depending on what I post. If I post just a photo of me at the beach, not so much. If I post a photo with a quote saying, you know, something along the lines of love yourself or be okay with who you are, whatever, that is when the trolling comes in hard and fast.
Really?
That is when people really have an issue with it because they're like, fuck you for saying it's okay to be your size and to be unhealthy. And that, I think, is what really bothers me because I work out 5 days a week and I work out fucking hard. And although I do have, you know, issues around food sometimes, I do eat healthy and the right things and obviously studied nutrition. I know what I'm doing, but people take one look at you and see that you're not a size 8 and you're saying you're healthy, and it really riles them up for whatever reason. So yeah, I've definitely dealt with my fair share, but I think that comes with being on Instagram, unfortunately. I think no matter what size you are, you get trolled, but all my trolling is definitely body focused, which can be hard to deal with, yeah. I guess. So I think, yeah, I guess depending on who you are.
So, like, obviously you're already kind of going through your own mental health struggle. Would you call it mental health struggles with, you know, your...
Yeah, eating disorders.
Exactly, with your weight. And then you have, like, the opinion of, like, Joe Blow from Toowoomba chiming in saying that your body isn't healthy, stop trying to claim that you're healthy, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks because instantly you feel like you have to defend yourself and you have to justify your literal existence, which is hard. But at the same time, I've blocked it out so much because at the end of the day, everyone to me really, if they're going to troll me, they say the same thing. You're not healthy. You're fat. It's gross. Lose weight.
It's just disgusting, isn't it?
It is disgusting, but comments like that are just like water off a duck's back now. And I kind of yeah, end of the day, I'm thinking, how's that going to affect me in the long run later on? You know what I mean? Like right now I'm suppressing it, but whether that comes up later on and affects me in ways that I don't even realize right now, I don't know. So yeah, it's a toughie.
The funny thing is though, it's kind of like, you know, you see brands, like obviously there's such a, you know, there's a drive and a change happening now in the industry with like showing different body mm-hmm. shapes and everything. And like, I feel like, you know, a lot of brands are doing that at the moment. And it's like, you know, 99%, it's an amazing response. Mm-hmm. But then like, I've seen like Gold Coast brands post an image of a different body type and the comments, there's so much praise, but then the same thing, there's comments going, this is not healthy. This is, and it's like, you're probably the same ones whinging that there's not enough body diversity. Then you're like, it's just shitty trolls sometimes.
Yeah. I know. It's always a huge debate, which is so weird. But I think the more it happens and the more people see it, those people are either going to accept it or give up. You know what I mean? Because I do think the positives outweigh the negatives hugely. Even if you're thinking for, you know, a 10-year-old girl who's just starting to see all of this advertising and become conscious of her body. And if she's, you know, just a bigger build, that will help her as she's growing up, even if it is a tiny bit more than what we had when we were growing up. You know what I mean? So that what I tell myself when I see comments like that. I'm like, this is doing good somewhere.
Totally. Yeah. I just think it's like, it's really tough growing up being a girl of any kind, let alone if you're just growing up naturally, you know, a little bit bigger, it's just your genetics. Yeah. It's fucking tough out there for a girl.
It is funny though. Like you think, like that's such an amazing point, and I don't think I've ever really took the time to consider that. Like it's just like comes down to girls having good role models that they can relate to as well. Like it's, you know.
Just seeing yourself represented 100%. Because that's where all my issues, and I'm sure for everyone else, you see girls that are, you know, really thin, and that's all you see, thin and white and beautiful. And then that becomes what you feel like you need to be, especially when you're younger. You feel like that's what you need to be of value to society and to be what men want. Yeah, that's what I always tell myself. Girls are seeing themselves represented.
Absolutely. I always think about that, like just having kids and them growing up with social media, like how
scary thought.
That's going to affect that. It's like scares the shit out of me, even for like my little niece and stuff.
100%.
But I guess it is, if it does keep changing the way it is, I think we are going to be on a good trajectory. It's just,
100%.
It's a work in progress.
Definitely. Yeah.
On the right track.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Well,
what advice would you give to young girls who might be wanting to get into the modeling industry?
It's hard, but you got to have a good support system. Listen to your friends and your family when they tell you there's nothing wrong with you and that you're beautiful as you are. Don't listen to, like you said, the opinion of Joe Bloggs from Toowoomba, who's, you know.
Mm-mm. I hate that guy.
Yeah, we hate that guy whose opinion of women is just being this statuesque, you know, skinny, beautiful, blonde, white. It's just not the case. I feel like you just need to look around on the street and there's beauty in so many different forms and so many different people. And at the end of the day, it really matters if you're happy with yourself. It doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks.
Totally. That's it, hey. And it's like, if you're happy within yourself, the vibes, like Nikki and I, our life motto is like, you can't teach vibes. So it's like, it doesn't matter if you're the hottest bird on earth. If you're a boring lemon or like a sad panda, like no one's going to want to hang out with you. And that all comes back to how you feel about yourself. So it's like, if you feel good about yourself, then you're going to give off these vibes of like fucking fun bird. Then you're going to be the most attractive person in the room. Doesn't matter if you're fucking hot
Absolutely.
Or not. Or what really even is hot? In my opinion these days, hot is a fun bird.
100%. Fun loving. Yeah.
Someone that's just comfortable being themselves, isn't trying hard to be something they're not, isn't so consumed in what other people are thinking that they're, you know, depressed about it. And I've been in all of those situations and mindsets, you know what I mean? But
that's it.
I guess like where I'm at right now, just being comfortable with myself, like life is fucking good.
Fuck yeah.
100%.
Like physical, like attraction and looks and stuff like that only just, well, I mean, it all just depends on the person, but I feel like it only gets you so far. Like,
yeah. I think it's just important not to place value in that. Like, value, I think, especially as you get older, is like your health. So, like, if you know that you're healthy, like, you know, like you said, it's like, doesn't matter what size you are, if you are. Like, I love being healthy, also treating myself, but then working out.
We just
out.
Had a cheese toasty, so go off.
But it's just, like, balance and it's living your life.
Yeah, exactly. It's your friendship groups. It's your emotional health. It's your social health. It's living a balanced lifestyle where you can treat yourself and not spiral out of control because you feel like you've been unhealthy.
There's that quote and it says, like, it's like your diet isn't just what you eat. It's what you read. It's who you hang out with.
It's what you consume. It's everything.
Yeah. Everything. I'm like, wow, relatable.
Like even 100%. Like, you know, going to – like I used to go to the gym when I was younger because I wanted to be skinny essentially, whereas now I don't even think about being skinny when I go to the gym. I literally just go to the gym for my mental health.
I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to lose weight or with wanting to build a booty or with wanting to get fit, anything like that. I think it's like it's how far you take it and it's how you implement that into your life while still living a fulfilled and happy life.
That's it. And I don't think it's healthy to be obsessed with anything in life, like whether it's your relationship or your weight or your job. There's nothing really healthy in being like overly obsessed with any one thing.
Totally.
But so if you're like obsessed with your weight in particular because that's so health driven, like I guess you can get really healthy, but like it's being obsessed with anything isn't good, and it's especially not good to be obsessed with being too thin.
Well, that's it. I was obsessed with being skinny and healthy, and where did that leave me? I almost lost my entire friend group because I stopped going out with them. I stopped seeing them. I stopped socializing. Wow. You know what I mean? Because I was too scared to drink alcohol. I was too scared to eat with them. I was constantly talking about my weight, and I was that person that was constantly like, you know, dishing out unwarranted diet advice. And I just became a shell of myself because that became my entire personality.
Wow. That's like a big thing to admit, babe. Like it's crazy that, you know, I've never had a friend that I've seen go through that. That would have been really sad for your friends to watch.
Definitely. And I actually remember being in Europe. We did a Contiki when we were 18, 19, and obviously, you know, you're in Italy and you're eating and drinking and, you know, all the good stuff. But I wasn't doing any of that. And I was getting up at 5 a.m. to go for a run while all my friends were hungover because
in
they
Italy
had
on
a
Contiki.
Fantastic night. Which is just so wild. And I remember we did like a 7-course pasta dinner, which is just like, it's the experience, right? You're in Italy, you're doing a 7-course pasta dinner.
Totally.
Like, just live in the
culture.
Moment.
Yeah.
Eat the fucking pasta, just, you know, have the experience. And I wouldn't do that.
Fuck, that's a quote if I've ever heard it. Live in the moment, eat the fucking pasta.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it just affects you in so many different ways, and I feel like I could talk about that for hours.
Well, we've probably got time for a couple of Queenie questions because it's almost time to finish up. So let me just get them up for us.
What is your all-time favourite affirmation?
Those that mind don't matter and those that matter don't mind.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful.
Words to live by.
Words to live by. Put it on a bloody T-shirt. Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got in here, well, we've kind of touched on this anyway, but how do you deal with some negative backlash online?
Same affirmation, those that mind don't matter and those that matter don't mind. Like,
it really is quite fitting.
It does apply to everything. when it's some random bloke on the internet who's either 14 or 60 or anywhere in between, I really could not care what he thinks of me.
Literally.
It's a fleeting comment. He leaves it, he feels better for a second, and then he fucks off. And, you know, like I said, you kind of get the same things all the time. So it really just is like, yeah, whatever, delete, whatever.
Water for duck's back, totally. So what's next for you, Kate? What's in the pipeline? Is anything exciting coming up?
I guess just being in Sydney, work's going well at the moment. Keep doing what I'm doing. Keep talking about size diversity and inclusivity. I would love somewhere along the line to do my own inclusive clothing brand.
Epic.
So yeah, world is my oyster at this stage, gals.
Babe, it really is. You're bloody 27, living in Sydney, working as a model. Fuck.
Yep, single for the first time in 5 years.
Wow.
Best life.
LYBL, baby. Live your best life.
I love it. Well, Kate, that's all we've got time for today, my girl. But thank you so much for jumping on. We really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us.
Thanks so much for having me, babes. Oh. That was a great chat. Anytime.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
This episode was brought to you by Modibody, where they are offering our queens 15% off store-wide. Use our code HAPPY15 at the checkout for a limited time. Head to the link in our show notes. This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. To stay up to date with us, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on Instagram at @we_the_wild_ones. Cheers, babes.